Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
But first, I want to talk about miracle cancer cures. And I'm sure we've all seen online and Facebook and all sorts of places about different cures that claim to do all sorts of things. I actually saw recently that if you put a poultice of your own urine on your neck, it seemingly cures cancer, allegedly. And you can pay for this special poultice online. This is the kind of stuff that I suppose goes out there. But should we ban all these suggested miracle cures? Propose new legislation to outlaw the promotion of so-called miracle cures and the spread of misinformation around treatment for cancer will be endorsed by the government this week. Now, a private member's bill by Fine Gael's Kate O'Connell proposes penalties of up to Is that 1 million? For offenders who advertise fake or unregulated treatments of cancer. Ms O'Connell said she will continue debating her bill in the Dáil, and the government is set to take up its own legislation tomorrow in a bid to stop people with illnesses being targeted, people who are vulnerable, I suppose, online and in publications. Now, I'm going to speak to Kate O'Connell in a moment about this, but before I do, I want to get your opinion on this proposed legislation. I want to know, do you believe they should be banned? Do you think so-called miracle cures for cancer should be banned? Now, I know people have opinions. Everybody has an opinion. Facebook, particularly nowadays with social media, you're going to get all sorts of stories about the seventh son of the seventh son and don't bother going to see a doctor. Should this fella here will give you a bowl of fresh fruit and that'll cure your cancer. Should that kind of stuff be banned? Here's a little bottle of elixir, the special stuff in this, like bleach or something. You drink it and it's going to cure your autism or something like that. All this kind of nonsense that we see on a regular basis on the internet. Should it be illegal to advertise that kind of stuff online or in any shape or form or promote that it's unnecessary to go to a hospital and get proper medical treatment? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Kate O'Connell, Fine Gael TD, is on the line. Kate, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall.
This has been a while coming, Kate, hasn't it? It's been talked about for the last 3 or 4 years. It's taken a little while, but something that you're very passionate about.
Yeah, I am very passionate about it, and the reason I'm passionate about it is no doubt my background, but also that this idea has been pushed by patient advocates, those that have been left behind from families that have, you know, suffered at the hands of these snake oil salespeople, and also the medical professionals, including the oncologists, as well as a very important group, which are the dietitians, who are the people who design diets to complement people's cancer treatment in the clinical environment based on evidence and based on science. So it's driven by those, but also more importantly at the drafting stage, the Irish Cancer Society have been involved, because they are, I suppose, the go-to people in terms of patients have a huge respect for the Irish Cancer Society and they do great work, and we have engaged with them, and yesterday they endorsed my bill. So it's not just my idea. This has been a long time in the pipeline and there's a lot of work been done on it, but also through the legislative process there will be amendments and changes to it, which I welcome.
Okay, in relation to being objective in relation to this particular bill, there are going to be people out there who will say, well, hold on, is this not nanny state kind of stuff? You know, many cures for different diseases that we have today, nowadays, the many cures that we have, some of them were found by accident, by people trying different things and suggesting that this may work. How bizarre it might sound is kind of irrelevant, but if it works, it works. And then there's going to be anecdotal stories. So people say, oh, well, I went to the seventh son of the seventh son. He told me not to go to the doctor and he gave me this and showed me cancer went away. We had a woman on last year who told us about this diet she was selling online, which included, I don't know, I think it was pureed fresh fruit of all sorts of carry on. And she had breast cancer and she said it cured her breast cancer and she stopped going to her doctor. Are those anecdotal stories, do they mean nothing? And I'm just being objective, obviously, but do they mean nothing? Are those kind of people, are they being outlawed now, essentially?
Well, there's a vast, I suppose, array of people you've mentioned there. So historically, we've had the willow plant. People chewed on it in historic times and they got relief from their headache with the salicylate content from what's now used in aspirin. And in foxglove, the plant, the flower, there's digoxin is derived from that. So over time, science has learned from the very basic, chewing the bit of a bark, that product then goes through a trial process. In terms of so-called miracle cures and advertisements relating to the treatment of cancer, which this bill sets out to prohibit, we're really trying to target people that advertise a treatment that has no basis in science, doesn't go through the regulatory process. And critically, we have an emergence of this in recent years where there's huge profiteering, but also, as you mentioned in the introduction, the advent of the internet and social media and also search engine optimization has caused a huge move in this area where there's people can be targeted at their most vulnerable. So when they get a catastrophic diagnosis...
They're desperate, of course, yes.
Yeah, that they are targeted in terms of their treatment. And the problem is, and we had a really good prime time by Connor Wilson some months ago that outlined the tragedy associated with this. And it's all fine somebody, you know, ringing in a show and saying a particular diet cured their cancer or their breast cancer. But, I mean, the fact is that if that was the truth, that person would be taken in by Big Pharma and their diet would be marketed.
Well, as soon as I hear the word Big Pharma, I know we're on a losing team, by the way.
You know, so the fact is that we have robust regimes in place to test the safety of our medicines that are released onto the market both at a national level and a European level. We have expert groups in place. And then to have that in some way diminished by people who are specifically setting out to extort money from people at their most vulnerable time, but also in some cases hastening death and increasing suffering, which is, you know...
Because they're not getting the proper medical attention.
They're not getting the proper medication.
Okay,
exactly.
And where does it leave? I mean, I know this. You talk specifically about cancer, but there is, you know, the fake cures for autism, which is quite common nowadays as well. You see these bleaches that are sold to unwitting parents who want to do the best for their child. But you've also got, I suppose, this idea that, you know, the seventh son of the seventh son, miracles, essentially, people claiming that they can wave their hands over you and cure you. Where does that leave all those individuals who make these claims?
So, I mean, we did a lot of work on this bill to make sure that certain things could still go ahead, people's own sort of personal beliefs or their faith. So in terms of what this bill sets out to do, it's the prohibition of the ads. So if this person who is the seventh son, for example, takes out an ad in a newspaper claiming to cure cancer at a massive fee, that's what we're looking. If someone just has some sort of belief system and they're operating without advertising or without a monetary contribution, I don't see that as much of my business, to be honest.
Well, they tend not to advertise a fee, but they kind of say donations are greatly accepted, don't they?
Well, it's clearly the advertising. And, you know, in terms of nanny state, I mean, we cannot prohibit conversations at crossroads or pubs in terms of people's beliefs. But what we're trying to do is benefit the whole here, have as much impact and to in terms of legislation in protecting our most vulnerable, but also protecting our system that is well established over the years.
And that legislation will also cover advertising on social media, because Facebook seems to be the way people tend to advertise nowadays, and Twitter and other kind of such social media outlets.
Yeah, and in terms of where I've come from on this, actually in recent months, the situation has changed somewhat with Facebook's realisation that the responsibility that they have in terms of the propagation of fake news, be it in terms of vaccination rates and what you mentioned in terms of the outbreak in New York, and we've outbreaks around Dublin currently. So I suppose my bill started off probably slightly different, but now in light of Facebook's changes, I think it's going to be very interesting how we work through this bill, because there now is a realisation that, you know, there has to be some element of responsibility when there's propagation of information that could have a detrimental effect on population health, but also in terms of the individual that's been targeted.
Well, just finally before you go, Kate, in relation, you mentioned vaccinations, and of course they're a big story today, and I'm sorry to catch you off guard on this one, but obviously the comments by Dr. Dominic Rowley and the comments by Simon Harris in relation to children who are unvaccinated, based on the story in New York and the outbreaks that we're seeing across the world of measles, which we thought we had practically eradicated at one stage. It's caused by children who are unvaccinated, some because of their faith as well, and we've seen that in New York. They're bringing in heavy fines for it and banning children from public schools. Is that something that you would agree with, say banning children from creches, public schools, if indeed they're not vaccinated?
See, I'm a firm believer in bringing people with you. And there's been a lot of, I suppose, scaremongering around this issue. But in terms of, you know, parents need to be able to access proper information in terms of the benefits of vaccinating their child. The negatives in terms of if their child is not vaccinated, in terms of the effects of measles. So I feel very strongly about what the minister said, and I like where he's going on it.
But should he take the bold step, according to Dr. Dominic Rowley, should he take this bold step of basically saying, well, I'm sorry, you can't go to a public school if your child is not vaccinated, unless, of course, they have some sort of certificate, because some children are so unwell that they can't have vaccinations.
They can't have
vaccinations. But unless you're wavered from having vaccinations, that you must have your child vaccinated, otherwise you're not welcome in a public school.
Well, I think he's moving in the right direction on it. And I think
should
he
do
made
it, Kate?
Comments,
don't sit on the fence. Should he do it?
I do think I think it has to come with a massive public education campaign. I think if you start, using the stick instead of the carrot, you sometimes get pushback. But I think in terms of where he's going in this, I think in light of recent developments, in light of the outbreak in New York, in light of the multiple outbreaks in Ireland, and the realisation that measles isn't just a simple condition that's a bit of a rash and will go, that it can kill, it can cause blindness and deafness, and in young children, in terms of older immunocompromised people, that it is very, very serious. But also in terms of the complete waste of money and waste of, science in terms of what we've invested over the years in our vaccination regimes, that this could essentially be completely destroyed with fake anti-vaccine information.
Well, we've seen that more recently here in Ireland, with the individuals who did get measles, the age group ties in with, I suppose, the Andrew Wakefield,
yeah,
of course.
It
yes,
it ties in very specifically with that. And I actually sat on the health committee this morning. I left it there to speak with yourself, and I spoke in terms of, I just think it's something that's often overlooked. We have the MMR, which is the measles, mumps and rubella. And I just think that generation of young men that are of the Wakefield, I suppose, era, there has been a mumps outbreak in some of our universities. And those young men some of them are going to have fertility problems when they move on to have children in their life. And in terms of, how do you have that conversation with your parent that didn't vaccinate you? Mm-hmm. How does a son look their parent in the eye and say, "Mommy or Daddy, I can't have grandchildren for you"?
Because you listen to Andrew Wakefield.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, a bit like the genesis of my piece of legislation, the patient has to come forward. The advocate, the young man who has been rendered infertile as a result of mumps, must come forward, because it would help this argument, because people don't seem to connect the importance of vaccination with the net benefits to your life as you move through it, be it in terms of your child's health or in terms of your ability to have children. So
you think Simon Harris is going in the right direction?
It's
anyway.
Going in the right direction. To be honest, I'm really happy that in terms of this being a private member's bill, it will be adopted by government on Thursday evening after second stage, which then becomes a government bill, which to my mind adds a lot more weight than having one member of Leinster House running behind a bill or pushing a bill. So I'm very, very happy that the Taoiseach, I was a medical doctor by profession, but it's very supportive of this bill and understands the huge issue here we have in terms of population health, okay, when it comes to fake news and people being allowed to propagate their notions, which in turn has a negative effect on population health.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Kate O'Connell.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that was in relation to the Treatment of Cancer Advertisements Bill 2018, so it probably will go through at some point, and it will mean it'll be illegal for you to advertise a fake treatment for cancer, specifically cancer as well, but mainly for those kind of, miracle cures for things that sadly kill people and destroy people. Patrick, you're on Classic Hits. Adrian, Patrick.
Hi, Noel. Yeah, well, in relation to what they're proposing, I suppose you're going to say, like totalitarian maybe regime, where maybe just because the science mightn't be there from the doctor's point of view or Kate O'Connell's point of view, because doctors will tell you themselves, to get maybe 1 hour, maybe, or not 1 hour, sorry, one 24-hour session maybe in the whole 7 years of training have anything to do with diet and nutrition. So doctors are trained just how to dispense the pill and not actually...
No, they're not. Doctors are not trained just to dispense pills. That's a very simplistic view of what a doctor does for a living.
Well, that's
the doctor diagnoses a problem, dispenses medication to relieve that problem, and also, if in the case of cancer, it's a whole schedule of treatment, it's a schedule of diet. There's so much more to it than dispensing a pill, Patrick.
Yeah, but they never get to the root cause.
What do you mean they never get to the root cause?
Well, in order to find out what caused the problem in the first place, you've got to get to the root cause.
Be specific. The root cause of what? Cancer? Is that what you're talking about? A tumour?
The root cause of cancer, autoimmune disease.
Well, the doctor that does find the root cause and can cure the root cause will be a millionaire overnight. So that hasn't happened yet. We do cancer research on a regular basis, Patrick. We spend billions every year on cancer research, and we're getting better at it. But we still haven't we don't understand exactly why it happens.
Well, I can tell you, if you were to put for any other thing in the world or whatever, the amount of money that you put into cancer, you'd have found answers maybe before now.
No, you wouldn't. That's a silly argument, Patrick. Well, absolutely, because cancer is an umbrella term for degeneration of the body in so many different ways. You can have stomach cancer, you can have lung cancer, you can have pancreatic cancer, breast cancer, which they're making great headway when it comes to breast cancer. They figure in about 5 years they will have a vaccination to avoid women getting breast cancer. They have throat cancer. There are so many different types of cancer that work in so many different types of way. It's not a one simple fix solution. It's not like, oh, here's a pill, it's all over, you're grand.
No, it's not pills, but it's down to diet, lifestyle and...
No, it's not just down to diet. You can have the best diet and lifestyle. A friend of mine died at 35 years of age. Didn't drink, didn't smoke, had a great lifestyle, was in the gym on a regular basis, and he died of pancreatic cancer. It's nothing to do with your lifestyle. Absolutely, living a healthy lifestyle is important.
But, you know, your genes are probably... Say, everyone is born probably with underlying cancer genes, but
most likely, yes, most likely, and different things in life may bring that cancer out. Stress, anxiety, all different things. But to suggest that it's just lifestyle, the healthiest people in the world have died of cancer. The richest people in the world have died of cancer. Steve Jobs, one of the richest men in the world, he wouldn't listen to doctors. He decided he would go to a quack who told him all about eating fresh fruit and that'll cure your cancer. He died. He went to a doctor 6 months before he died and said, I was wrong, I shouldn't have listened to the quacks. Can you give me some chemotherapy now? And they said, sorry, it's too late. You're going to die.
Well, sure, we all know chemotherapy doesn't work on its own either, you know.
What do you mean chemotherapy doesn't work on its own?
I mean, an awful lot of people who've gone down the chemotherapy route haven't lived to tell the tale either.
No, because they're dying of cancer, Patrick.
Yeah, but like...
And if they didn't get the chemotherapy, they would have died anyway.
And, we have no evidence to say that they would have died anyway, you know.
So, you're telling me now that chemotherapy kills people?
Well, they say it's got...
Who's they? You just said they say. Who's
any,
they?
Functional medicine doctors and various other scientists...
Can you give me a name of who says that chemotherapy kills people?
Well, they haven't said it killed them, but it said it doesn't.
Okay, so they haven't actually said that. Okay, you just made that bit up then. All right, okay.
No, but...
Patrick, when you're at a point in your life, listen to what I have to say here, right? When it comes to chemotherapy, and this argument all the time that chemotherapy kills people, there is no doubt that chemotherapy is a very, very, very severe way to deal with a disease because it's not going to make you very well. Chemotherapy makes you very sick. But the argument is you are at a stage in your life where you're dying with cancer. And you have only a few options. Chemotherapy, radiotherapy are those options. They are the options for you. Now, it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. You try it, it could elongate your life, it could cure you, put you into remission, or you're right, you could die. But you are going to die anyway of the cancer. What have you got to lose?
Yeah, that's why I was saying, what have you got to lose of trying?
But that's not what you're saying. Well, what you're suggesting, Patrick, is that people who would ordinarily have survived are dying because they're getting chemotherapy. That's what you're suggesting.
I'm saying they would have probably died, but I'm saying the chemotherapy hasn't actually made them live.
So what would you do, Patrick? Be honest. If you had cancer tomorrow, and I hope it doesn't ever happen to you, by the way, what would you do?
Well, if it was me, I'd be looking at my diet, my lifestyle.
And you wouldn't go to a doctor, no?
Well, if I got diagnosed with a doctor, yeah, but I'd definitely be taking a holistic approach on my diet.
Would you? And would you have chemotherapy? If your doctor recommended, Patrick, you know, you're at stage 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, we recommend, you know, a schedule of chemotherapy just to sort of shrink this tumour before we can remove it. What would you say to them, Patrick? No, you're grand, I'll go home and eat a banana instead?
Nope, I'd go home and I'd go stay on my ketogenic diet.
And you wouldn't bother going back and getting the chemotherapy?
Nope. Not for me.
So obviously, Patrick, you know better than most doctors then, do you?
Well, I know what works for my own
self. No, you don't. Do you understand the human body? Do you know better than most doctors? Have you got a degree in science? Are you a doctor? Do you have a medical BA or something, or an MA in medicine?
I need to understand my own self.
Yes, you do.
How my body reacts.
Hold on a second. I own my body. I'm quite aware of my own body. I know when I feel a bit down. I know when I'm low on energy. I know when I need something to eat. That's my own body. I understand my own body to a certain extent. But if I'm unwell, I go to a doctor. I have a car outside. I know how the car feels. I'm pretty handy when it comes to cars. I know when it's low on oil, when it's low on water, when the tire pressure needs to be checked. But if something goes wrong with that car, I take it to a mechanic. A man or a woman who is trained to deal with it. You don't take your body to yourself, Patrick. You go to a hospital.
Well, I've been there, done that, didn't work for me.
Didn't work for you. You're still here, aren't you, Patrick?
Yep, because I changed my lifestyle, my diet, everything else.
It's not just because you're changing your lifestyle and your diet is good for you. Nobody's going to deny that.
Yep.
But it's absolutely good for you. But when you're sick, Patrick, and you're very unwell and you have cancer, you go to a doctor. You don't just go home and eat a bowl of fruit. And that is the very type of thing that Kate O'Connell is trying to legislate for. It's people, Patrick, who, like yourself, believe you know better.
I'm not saying go home and eat a bowl of fruit. I mean, you have to change your whole diet, not just a bowl of fruit.
Right,
fruit
right.
on its own isn't going to work.
No.
You have to change all your food, everything.
Right, okay. And would you? And if you knew somebody who had cancer, would you recommend that to them? Not to have chemotherapy and start, having a better diet?
I'll tell them find their own answers. Being truthful.
You tell them to find their own answers.
Yep.
And not to go to a doctor for chemotherapy.
I would tell them.
I'm glad I'm not a friend of yours, Patrick.
I would tell them what worked for them.
Right. But I'm just glad I'm not a friend of yours.
I wouldn't say go to a doctor if they ask. I'd say, look, do what you think you should do yourself.
Right.
I'm not telling other people what they should do. I'm just saying what's right for me.
Well, no, you just said you would tell your friend to do what you think is right for them and not to go to doctors and get chemotherapy.
No, you said not go to the doctor. I said what's right for them.
Okay, so if your friend said to you, I'm thinking of going to a doctor, he's recommended chemotherapy for me, I'm at stage 3, breast cancer, whatever it is, what would you say to them? You'd say, oh, no, don't go home and change your diet.
I'd say to him, okay, that's what's right for you, do that, that's it, but I'm not telling you how to live your life, but I'd tell you what I think myself for what's good for me.
And do you spend long on the internet, Patrick?
I spend a bit, but not long, but I do a lot of research and reading various books on health and holistic approach to life.
Okay, well, hang on for a second. Tina, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Tina?
Hi, Niall. I'm so annoyed. I am actually shaking with temper. I'm just cannot believe that somebody could be so ill-informed and so... I don't want to be rude, but absolutely stupid to be coming out and making those comments. That he's saying, is he even aware that he's on the national airways? That there's.
Have you ever been in a situation where you weren't able to walk and almost ended up in a wheelchair? Well, I have, so I can talk for myself.
Well, my best friend lost her 16-year-old daughter last year to bowel cancer, and it's coming up to our 1-year anniversary on the 11th of May.
Sorry to hear that. That's awful.
So I have a fair understanding. She was my daughter's best friend, and I hope she's not listening because she's only back from doing the Camino to get over it, to get through Mother's Day. And I cannot believe that somebody could turn around and say, that chemotherapy is actually killing people. When there's parents out there right now that have children in hospitals, or parents or mothers and fathers that are going through this type of thing, that are looking, at terminal diagnosis, that are trying their best, and they have professionals that have studied years, medical professionals that are doing their best to keep these people alive. And somebody coming on the airway to say they study on the internet to get their information, and that eating fresh fruit and holistic treatments would be the better route to go, and that's the advice they would be giving people. I just can't believe it. I really can't.
So, yeah, Patrick, it is very insensitive to, people, like that lady who lost her daughter. As we speak at the moment in Crumlin Hospital or in the Manor Hospital or in Cork University, whatever it happens to be, there are young children who may be diagnosed with cancer. Their parents are doing the best they can for them and putting them on schedules of chemotherapy or radiotherapy. But you're telling them, sure, the best thing to do is bring them home and change their diet and that'll cure them.
I said what's good for me. I didn't say what's good for me.
Well, that's what you're suggesting, Patrick.
And I, as I said, I've been in a situation where I was...
Your body is no different to anybody else's, Patrick. It's exactly the same.
Well, I have a rare autoimmune disease, and I wasn't able to walk, and I was I was wheelchair bound and I had changed my diet and the medication wasn't working for me. So, and I got myself back walking now and I'm walking without a walking stick freely and everything else.
So you cured yourself?
I didn't say I cured myself, but I...
Well, where who cured you?
Did you get physiotherapy? Was there other things that went, medicine that went along with that? I'm just dying.
Holistically?
I found out what I was allergic to. It turns out I'm allergic to starch.
Well, okay, so you found out what you're allergic to. Did you have an allergy test?
So I had to cut it out.
Did you have an allergy test?
No, I didn't, because I went to a forum where people with that condition and doctors explained what the actual...
Okay, so you went to a doctor?
So the doctor explained the...
Okay, so let me go back to what you just said. You went to a doctor, and he examined you and figured you were allergic to starch and recommended what you should do.
No, my doctor didn't.
A doctor. I'm saying a doctor.
A doctor. That was online form.
Okay, was he a medical doctor?
He was a medical doctor, yeah.
Okay, well then, he's a doctor. He's trained to do that. He knew what you were allergic to. He told you to cut it out and put you on a special diet. That's a completely different situation to having cancer, Patrick.
But that information wasn't available here in Ireland.
What do you mean?
So I have to go online.
He's still a doctor.
I know he's still a doctor, and there's great doctors out there, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, loads of great doctors out there.
But there's no reason to suggest that a doctor who is trained couldn't be trained in diet and nutrition. But
when it comes to something as serious as cancer, Patrick, and somebody is at, you know, the third or fourth stage in cancer, we've run out of options.
Yeah, but
sending them home and asking them to change their diet is not going to cure them. It might help them feel a little bit healthier, get through the illness a little bit easier, but it's not going to cure them, Patrick.
No, but if they're having the chemo, they might as well change the diet as well in parallel with it.
But you just told me a few minutes ago you wouldn't even recommend the chemo.
I said I wouldn't take it myself. I didn't say I recommend it.
Okay, well, good luck to you, Patrick.
You know, stuff.
Yeah.
What's for me is not for everyone else.
Sorry, just to get back to you, Tina, before I just go to Dee, in relation to this particular bill, the treatment of cancer, and advertisements bill 2018, do you think it's a good idea?
I think it's a brilliant idea. It's the same with the anti-vaxxers. It's that sort of misinformation, you know, that your vulnerable people, when they're at their lowest, mm-hmm. will grasp onto any form of hope. And maybe they might be going through chemo or feeling disheartened, or it mightn't, you know, be going. And they might just stop doing stuff because they're reading stuff like this, these miracle cures that can cure. I mean, if that was the case, there'd be no such thing as cancer anymore, would there? There's no such thing as miracle cures.
See, there are people who have a lot of faith in miracle cures. I mean, I know Kate has said the legislation has allowed for certain things like Lourdes, I imagine, and the Seventh Son of the Seventh Son, provided they don't advertise it as a cure. But there are, you know, kind of men, particularly all over the country, who advertise themselves as miracle curers, who are the Seventh Son of the Seventh Son. And we had one of them on the air here about 2 years ago, who suggests that they wave their hands over people and they cure their cancer.
But they shouldn't be allowed to vote, in my opinion. Like, are they even allowed to reproduce? I just think that is just absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, and I can understand people going to them because they're desperate to survive.
They're desperate. That's why they should be stopped. I mean, like, that's my daughter's, when she was in the free preschool year, I had to hand in all her vaccination sheets. They were not allowed in. And that's only down in Marino.
By the way, I wonder how Patrick feels, just before I start. Dee, I know you're waiting. I'm going to come to you in a second. But Patrick, he's still there.
Yeah.
How do you feel about vaccinations? Silly question, but how do you feel about vaccinations?
Oh, I think they're necessary, all right.
Like, oh, that's okay.
But I just think maybe in certain cases, maybe they may need to give the vaccination separately if the child's immune system is already compromised. So putting that much in one go for a very maybe compromised immune system.
So you don't agree with the MMR vaccine?
No, I think that if someone has a compromised immune system, there might be too much.
Well, I think that's up to a parent and a doctor to understand if a child has an immune system or has a problem where they can't take vaccinations. But generally speaking, you're okay with vaccinations. Do you think all children should be vaccinated?
Well, if it's prevention, isn't it better than cure? Like,
okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. I thought you might have been going down that road too and reading that off the internet. Let me go to Dee. Dee, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Dee?
Good afternoon, now.
Dee, I mean, you mentioned to us the last time you were on.
Hold on, can I say something?
Yeah.
You know that ad that comes in, have you reached boiling point yet?
Yeah.
You
reached boiling point, have you?
I'm about to climb through that phone to give that gobshite a dick.
Oh, okay. You don't like him. You don't like Patrick's opinion, obviously.
No chance. Patrick, I've got 3 days left now. I finish next Monday with my radiation. I finished completely my chemo. I finished it successfully.
Okay.
And on Monday I finished my radiation and all that. But chemo, yes, it makes you completely in bits.
It does.
You know? And I couldn't,
it knocks the wind out of you, I imagine, yeah.
I couldn't do anything. I couldn't, straight after chemo, straight to bed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's
I think most people would have had the same experience, absolutely.
Yeah, and there's
no doubt there's a lot of side effects to chemotherapy because it's radiation. A lot of people will lose their hair, you know, they'll feel unwell.
I've lost my hair and everything. I lost my eyebrows, everything. I've been wearing, I'm still wearing a hat at the moment. My hair is only starting to grow back, Patrick, by the way. Because of the chemo, because the chemo helped me. And it's only starting to grow back now. Now, how dare you, Patrick? How dare you just people? Cancer is not curable. It's treatable.
Patrick, are you there? Hello, Patrick. Are you still there, Patrick? He's explaining to somebody else. He's on the radio. See, listen. He's explaining to somebody else. He's on the radio. Listen, let's have a listen to what he's saying. He's talking to somebody else there about the fact that he's on the radio and everybody's shooting him down.
But he's making a stupid point, now. There's so many people. Do you know what my consultant, I was lucky that I found my lump very early. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my consultant, Dr. Morris, which is a brilliant consultant in Bowman, and he says to me that they, when I got my biopsy, mammogram, everything, all in one day, and it's so good now. We're advanced. The country's advanced now. Do you know what I mean?
We're getting better at diagnosing. I mean, we predict that in the next 10 years, the amount of cancer cases is going to rise dramatically, right? But the reason that is not because more people are getting cancer. It's because we're diagnosing it better. So we have to be able to now deal with it. And the only way we have to deal with it at the moment, or the best way we have to deal with it, is by, you know, a schedule of chemotherapy, radiotherapy, talking to a dietitian, and, you know, making sure you're healthy, et cetera, et cetera. But Patrick, are you there again?
Yeah. Yes.
You just heard what T said. You know, her breast cancer was picked up fairly early. Thankfully, she was diagnosed fairly early. She went on chemotherapy. Yeah, right. It made her quite unwell. She sadly lost her hair and her eyebrows, which are starting to grow back now. But she's on the mend.
Yeah, my sister had radiation for the same thing, and she's on the mend now.
Are you serious? So you just told me your sister had radiation, and she's on the mend now, but you were on the air telling us all that you wouldn't do it.
Val, he's a liar. He's a liar. Yep.
No, that's not for me. I don't like the idea of burning myself, you know?
You don't like the idea of burning yourself?
Well, that's how she felt when she was on the treatment. She was burnt. She could feel the burning from the radiation.
It's radiation. Yes, it is radiation. And it is quite... It does have some sort of certain dramatic effects on your body. But mind you, the cancer would have a much more dramatic effect on your body.
Yeah, but it's less invasive, apparently, from what she was saying, than chemo.
Yeah, but so do I. But you know what? I went to I listened to my doctor, not to somebody on the street. I'm not going to go and pay bloody money, buy this and this. He's got, no, I do it the right way. And I've got 3 days left for my radiotherapy. And I'm not going to say I'm cured, but I've got treated. And I feel happy and healthy. I've got 3 beautiful young kids that I can spend more time with now. But through the chemo, I couldn't. It made me sick. But now I'm on the mend.
Do you accept that, Patrick?
Yeah, but also I should say I don't listen to doctors or people on the street either myself.
You don't listen to doctors or people on the street?
Look, I listen to doctors.
So who do you actually listen to when you're unwell, apart from the fact that you said you had some allergy to starch? You listen to the internet?
When I'm unwell,
You go on the internet?
No, I actually know myself now what's actually triggered it. So you know, I just have to cut back.
Patrick, come on, you're talking nonsense. When you're unwell, when people are unwell and they don't know themselves what's wrong with them, you have to go to a doctor.
Well, yeah, if you don't know, but I know myself at this stage with my condition.
That's just one condition, Patrick. You know, throughout your life, as you get older, you'll have a lot more conditions.
But you see, with the condition, there's so many side effects that I know all the side effects now at this stage. What happens with the condition?
And you know what now?
Mm.
I didn't change my lifestyle. I'm still the same D.
Yeah.
You know me. You see me, you know me. I'm still the same D. I eat the same food. I still have my glass of wine every now and then. I'm still the same D. And I still eat the same food. I cook for my family. The way I always. My doctor didn't tell. My doctor just said to take it easy.
Okay, well, listen, hang on a second. I've got to go to Liz. Liz, wait till after the break, because I have to go to a break. Loads of people texting in and sending in messages. Somebody says, leave it now. You just lose time. Obviously, not to Patrick. He says, if these people want to cure themselves with air and cosmic energy, good luck to them. One less. However, Ashton Kutcher, the actor who actually played Steve Jobs in the movie, it's a great movie, by the way. There was two Steve Jobs movies came out. One was the Irish actor. What's his name again? Oh, I can't remember his name. And Ashton Kutcher was the first one to do the Jobs movie. And it was slated by the critics as being a crap movie, and I watched it and I thought it was actually brilliant. I thought Ashton Kutcher was an amazing actor in that particular movie. But anyway, he played the part brilliantly. But anyway, he said he tried the same diet that Steve Jobs tried when he was diagnosed with cancer. No. And he almost died on the diet because he had to do the diet so he could lose weight to look a little bit like Steve Jobs towards the end. In other words, imagine what it would do to somebody who was already sick. Absolutely. Look, there is no doubt you should adjust your diet if you're feeling unwell or if you're getting cancer treatment. A doctor will talk to you to go to a dietitian and adjust your diet to make you healthier and get through chemotherapy, because chemotherapy can have massive side effects. But to suggest that changing your diet or somebody wobbling their hands all around you going, ooh, ooh, is going to actually cure your cancer is just madness. And anybody who claims that should be sent to jail. Good, Liz, you don't support miracle cures, but you think people should be allowed to spend money on whatever they want to spend?
Pretty much, yeah. At the start of the topic, like, that was one of the main things that Claire, was that her name, was saying?
Kate.
That she was saying about, like, it's the cost thing. But at the end of the day, I think people should be allowed to spend their money on what they want. My main problem with the lifestyle advertisement is telling people not to go to doctors.
Yeah, but if you're telling people, if you're advertising, say for example, come to me and I'll wave my hands over you and I'll give you this bottle of magic elixir that'll cure your cancer. It is kind of telling people that your method is the one that works, even though there's no proof.
Yeah, but a lot of the advertisements are saying you don't need a doctor because I can do this, and that for me is the main issue where I don't think telling people, oh, come to me, and if you buy this elixir off me, it's going to cure you. It's not protecting vulnerable people to me, this bill. It's protecting gullible people.
Do we need to protect? Because there are gullible people, Liz. Do we need to protect gullible people?
I don't think we need to go so far as to be bringing in bills to do it now, because as I said, the lady that was on before me. That she went through all her, she's coming up to the end of her radiotherapy and all. And she specifically said she wouldn't be stupid enough to go and spend her money on these silly cures.
But there are people, is an intelligent woman, there are people who may be stupid enough because they're desperate and they're trying to find a cure.
So do we need to bring in a bill to protect stupid people from anything?
Liz.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what you're talking about, gullible people who are...
Okay, hang on, Dee wants to ask you something. Sorry, Dee, go ahead.
Liz, at the start, you know, everybody is scared to death when you find out you've got the C. When you've got cancer.
I can only imagine.
And I just looked at my kids and I said to Paddy, I'm going to fight this beast. And every single day, Monday to Friday, I go to Bowman. Like you said, you spend money. I go to Bowman every day, Monday to Friday. And I feel actually good now. And
can I ask you something, Dee? When you got that diagnosis and you were that terrified, I'm seeing on the internet and in here, there and everywhere, these miracle cures that you chose to ignore.
Why would I go on the internet or something?
Well, that's what Liz is saying. You're intelligent. You chose to ignore it. You knew what the right thing to do was. So she said, all we're doing is legislating for stupidity.
I'd
go the same route as you. I'd be going to hospitals.
So, as I would, yeah.
Doctors, I'd be taking all their advice. I wouldn't be interested in the likes of
that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Doctors do get it wrong sometimes, but they've a better chance of getting it right than some bloke on Facebook.
Well, that's what
exactly.
I'm trying to
and
say
I
now.
I agree with that, but I don't think...
Well, so then, you know, wait, I mean, it's all well... I mean, a doctor can get it wrong. There's no doubt about that, Liz, and I know doctors do get it wrong. My mother used to always say, doctors differ, patients die, right? So there's no doubt that doctors can get it wrong sometimes. But in saying that, if somebody's online advertising something and they have no credibility, at least the doctor has, you know, 10 or 15, 20 years experience and credibility and, you know, a few letters after his name and went to college. But if some guy is online advertising something with no credibility, you know, no training whatsoever, but you know, here's I don't know, pureed fruit and a bottle of elixir, and this will cure your cancer. Surely that should be illegal.
But now,
I take your point. But the thing is, as you said yourself, they're going to take into account, say, Lourdes or this seventh son of a seventh son. So why isn't it all?
Personally speaking, I believe that should be illegal too. I know that's not going to happen because the bill covers that, right? But I believe if you advertise Lourdes as a cure for anything, it should be illegal. Now, if people want to go there because they have their faith, that's perfectly fine, right? And they're getting other treatment as well. But there are people who genuinely believe if they go to Lourdes, they'll be cured. And I think that's giving people false hope.
It is.
Because it doesn't happen. Nobody's ever been cured in Lourdes.
Some guy saying he can wave his hands over you, giving you false hope.
There's no evidence that any miracles have ever happened in Lourdes. Yes, people mysteriously go into remission, but people mysteriously go into remission in hospitals all the time as well. It's not just because it's Lourdes. Cancer is a very strange and unusual disease that we really don't have a really good handle on. But stay there for a second. Let me go to Dorothy. Dorothy, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Dorothy?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Dorothy, should we ban the people who advertise cures for cancer?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There is no such thing as a miracle in a bottle or in a food or anything.
No.
There is no such thing as a miracle. I mean, total nonsense. I mean, you if you're diagnosed with cancer, chemotherapy, radiotherapy is there for a reason.
See, I'm looking at, I just got a text there. Cannabis oil is the way to go from Paul. See, this is what you're dealing with.
Absolute nonsense.
Well, can I point out, cannabis oil has been proven to be good to help with pain, right? There's no doubt about that. But it's certainly not going to cure your cancer.
It's not going to cure your cancer, absolutely not. You need the chemotherapy.
So
you actually, there is no way that any food or anything else is going to kill off those cells of the cancer in your body.
Okay, so the point is, Liz is saying we shouldn't have to legislate for the stupid and the gullible. Because you're intelligent, you know that, Dorothy. I know it, Liz knows it, but what she's saying is there are people out there who can be duped into buying this silly stuff that doesn't work, and we shouldn't really have to legislate. That's their own kind of fault, in some sense.
No, of course everybody is going to clutch at straws when they're diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was diagnosed with cancer 13 years ago.
But should we legislate for the stupid in every case? Should we legislate and say that mediums shouldn't be pawning off that they can...
But we do legislate for stupidity. We do it all the time. I mean, we've legislation in this country for fraud, and people usually who are the victims of fraud in a lot of cases are gullible. So we do legislate for fraud. We do legislate, and essentially what it is fraud, Liz.
Advertising that they can do this or that. And I said, take mediums.
But if you were diagnosed with cancer, Liz, I don't have much time, but if you were diagnosed with cancer tomorrow, and I hope it never happens to you, jeez, I hope it never happens, right? But if you were, and I said to you, Liz, come over to my house, I'm going to wave my hands around you, and I have this little magic device, electric device, I'm going to stick it into you a few times, and that'll be grand, that'll cure your cancer, Liz, give me 60 quid. Do you believe
I guarantee there'll be a little box at the door there for the donation.
I tell you, you are off your head, and I'm going down to my doctor. That's what I'm saying. I do that. The same way if it was yourself and I told you I had a cure for what was wrong with you, you'd probably tell me to go to hell, that you were going to your doctor. But I just don't understand why they think we should legislate for people who are so gullible that they go and do it. Because let's be honest, if you're thinking, like, anyone should know that these things don't work. As that lady said, there is no miracles. There's no miracle cure.
No.
Whether it be a food, an elixir, a drink, changing your diet, living as healthy as you can. None of that is going to work. You need the chemotherapy or you need the radiotherapy along with changing your diet or changing your lifestyle. So I just don't understand how people can think we should legislate for the guilty or for the gullible. I just don't.
Well, Dorothy's got a final word on that, so she doesn't believe we should be legislating for the gullible.
Absolutely not. Mm. No, absolutely not. because it's twisting people's heads. People are clutching at straws and everything else when they're diagnosed with cancer. They don't know what way to turn. They don't know where to go. Absolutely no.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.